You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nadira Jamal, and welcome to episode 38 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. This episode is sponsored by the new book, Belly Dance Practice Prompts, inspiration for tribal, cabaret, and fusion dancers, which offers 120 inspiring ways to jazz up your practice, plus $50 of free belly dance goodies. So if you're tired of practicing the same moves over and over again, you can check it out at bellydancepracticeprompts.com/Amazon. And I'm also proud to be one of the contributors, so if you check that out, you'll also get some suggestions from me as well. The Clubhouse is the place where dancers can get together and geek out on all of those things that are hard to get in classes and DVDs. If you want help with what? So things like moves and choreographies and combinations, it's really easy to find resources. But if you want help with the why and the how, things like musicality, professionalism, culture, teaching, you know, these are a little bit harder to find. So every month I interview a different guest expert on a different geeky topic, and we always have time for question and answer so you can geek out too. So if you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, you are in the right place. My guest tonight is Sahina. Sahina discovered belly dance in 2005 and instantly fell in love with the movements, music, and beautiful community she found. She studied with many amazing dancers over the years, but her main teachers and inspirations were one of her earliest teachers, Rose Champagne, and her mentor, Shifa. Sahina is based in Western Massachusetts, where she teaches and performs regularly. She was a founding member of the Middle Eastern band Manavi, who she performed with for many years. And she's also the co-producer of Dancing Into the Dark and Dancing Into the Light, as well as a member of the Illuminata Dance Company. She loves to share her passion for music and dance with her students, dance partners, and audiences around New England. You can check her out at sahinabellydance.com, spelled S-A-H-I-N-A, bellydance.com. So welcome, Sahina.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Started, why don't you tell us about your origin story? How was it that you got started in Oriental dance?
So the way I found belly dance was actually I had a friend and he had heard about some classes and he wanted to check them out but was a little bit shy about going by himself and asked me to come along, and so I went along and I completely loved it, and so it was pretty random. A friend invited me to go with him and I went.
You know, I know several people who got started that way. Out of curiosity, did your friend continue?
He did not, although he is a professional musician now.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody that I know who's answered that question, you know, they were the, oh, would you come along and support me person, and the original person who was interested quit, but the friend stayed on. So you're in good company.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and can you tell us a little bit about your background in mentoring, either giving it or receiving it? How did you get interested in this topic?
So the way I started out in the professional dance realm was entirely through my main instructor at the time, Shifa, and she is an absolutely amazing, amazing dancer who's been dancing for over 40 years, and she's just such a wealth of knowledge. And so she was a person who inspired me to pursue dancing in a professional realm. And nowadays, I have the honor of mentoring several of my own students who are working their way towards becoming teachers and professional performers and working towards event hosting. So I'm seeing things from both sides now.
Excellent. Yeah, this is a topic that's really close to my heart. I've been doing a lot of low-level talking about this for a long time and thinking about what makes it work. So, you know, because you have this unique experience of getting it from both directions, I was really excited that you were willing to come on the show.
I was really excited to be asked. It's so awesome.
Excellent. Well, you know, let's start with some of the basics. You know, what's the difference between teaching and mentoring?
So teaching is usually like a more formalized sharing of information, generally like a classroom setting where an instructor is imparting a set of specific knowledge to usually a group of people, although of course it could also be in private lessons. Whereas mentoring is more like if teachers teaching's like a classroom setting, mentoring sort of like an independent study where you choose something you want to focus in on, and then your mentor sort of gives you a like guided way of looking at that, where the student just chooses to delve into an area of study, and the mentor provides individualized feedback and helps them achieve their learning goals.
Mm-hmm. And who needs a mentor?
So people who need mentors are those who are looking to go past the role of a student. And of course, we're all always students throughout our entire times as dancers. There's always more that we can learn. It's generally you want to find a mentor if you're thinking about doing something beyond your own personal practice and dancing as a hobbyist and moving into areas such as teaching your own classes or performing at private events or hosting workshop events, then it's best to find a mentor to guide you through that process, because there's a lot of complicated subtleties that go along with each of those things. And so it's great to have someone who's experienced and who's been there before to sort of help show you the ropes.
Mm-hmm. And is this something that you only need at certain stages, or do you need a mentor throughout your career, or just when you're making the leap from student to pro?
I think that it's most important in sort of the preparation stages leading up to these transition points, and then also during the transition and during the early times after the transition. But I think that mentoring can come in handy at any time throughout your entire dance career. I still check in with my mentor about things to this day, and I'm sure, hopefully I'll always be able to do that. And so later on in your career, you may also connect with other mentors beyond your principal mentor, if you want to expand into another realm. For instance, I ended up getting a mentor to help me out with business things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I love this idea of having different mentors. You know, I often say, well, my business mentor and my dance mentor and this and that. And I think it's very helpful to think of them as, you know, different roles, and sometimes the same person can't fulfill all of those roles, and sometimes you need to look more broadly.
So
what's a good way to tell if you need a mentor? Are there any signs or situations that you think, will point you that direction?
I think even if you're just interested in potentially ever exploring the realm of dancing beyond personal practice and as a hobbyist, it's good to, because maybe you think you're interested and you think you want to become a professional performer, but you're not really sure. And so it's good to approach someone about mentoring you through that process of, is this something you really want to commit to? And then, so even if you're just potentially interested, I think it's good to talk that out with someone who's been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you didn't want to go professional and you just wanted to be mentored to be the best performer that you could be, even at just like open mic nights, to expand your performance skills or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about finding a mentor?
So often it is your primary teacher, although not necessarily. And you might be taking classes with multiple teachers, and you might have, like we've been saying, multiple mentors for different areas of study. But often it's your primary teacher, or it could be another dancer that you really admire, or someone like a business coach, or someone else who specializes in the thing that you would think you would like to learn more about.
Mm-hmm. And does your mentor have to be somebody who's local?
No, and especially with the rise of like Skype classes and online learning, I think there are, I know a lot of really exceptional dancers who are now hosting online mentoring. I think Ruby Bay offers something like that, and I think there's a variety of other dancers as well who offer long distance mentoring and like specific practice.
Mm-hmm. My own mentor these days anyway is in Washington, so it's a ways away.
Yeah.
And you know, I know this isn't necessarily practical for everybody, but in addition to, you know, emails, phone calls, and Skype and all that, I actually fly down and see her a couple of times a year. And, you know, sometimes I just
wonderful.
Go down, like, the afternoon. I'll go in the morning. We have lunch. We have some, you know, we talk some things over. We have a private lesson, and then I fly back.
That sounds really fun.
It is. And, you know, if you book far enough in advance, it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're interested in being mentored, you know, how can you approach the person that you'd like to have that relationship with?
I think the best thing to do is to start by letting them know sort of what you admire about who they are and what they do, and let them know that you're interested in working towards attaining a similar skill set. And so I think it's best just to let them know how you're feeling, and that just ask for an honest assessment of where you are and of what they would recommend for you as far as action steps to achieve your goals, and to see if they're willing and able to take on a mentee at that time.
And if you're thinking about, you know, approaching somebody to be your mentor, what qualities should you be looking for? You know, how can you tell if somebody's going to be a good mentor?
It should be someone who is skilled, experienced, and knowledgeable in their area of study. So someone who has many, many years of experience and is a well-respected member of the dance community. It should be someone whose opinion you trust and who you know will give you honest feedback and advice on where you're at. And someone who is fully invested in seeing you succeed.
You know, when I've talked to other people about, you know, and I said, I think you need a mentor, you should go off and do this. I think that you've touched on the two biggest things that I think are important, which are both those trust things, right? You know, you need to trust with you because, you know, some people, especially if they don't know you well or they're concerned about hurting your feelings, might not give you an honest assessment.
Yeah.
And so that's one piece. But I think the other piece is that you really need to trust. You need to have both trust and esteem for their opinions, right? If they say something, is you need to be able to believe them. And if they say something needs work, you need to be able to believe them.
Yes, absolutely. You need to be able, as a mentee, to accept constructive criticism and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other piece there is that, you know, and this is kind of pulling on something that you're saying, is I think that, you know, your mentor needs to have similar dance values to you, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they need to dance in the same style, but that they need to consider similar things important to you. Because, you know, if your goal is to, you know, be on the competition circuit and have, you know, the hottest, latest technique, you may not want to go with somebody with a much more like old school, traditional, the feeling is everything kind of approach, or vice versa.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, so, you know, if somebody has agreed to take you on as a mentee, you know, what would a mentoring relationship look like?
So this really varies in specifics based on sort of what you want to work on ultimately, be it teaching or performing or event hosting, and also whether you're local and can do regular meetups or need to work out a system of distance learning and more sporadic meetups. But in general, you should expect honest feedback and constructive criticism on your work and your progress along the way. Expect to be assigned things to work on and areas of study that they want you to delve deeper into. I'm currently mentoring four of my students officially, and we're starting a more formal training thing for them in the new year, where instead of mentoring them all individually, because I was finding that a lot of them were having the same questions coming up over and over again, for them I'm going to be doing some monthly meetups where they can share their progress with each other, discuss hurdles that they're coming up against, and offer support for each other. And so I'm giving them sort of assignments and also other places they can go that if I think they need to work on a specific thing, I'm helping each of them find, like, another teacher who could help them with this specific aspect of their dancing, or a conference that I know is focused on something that they want to grow at. And so expect your mentor to help you sort of find these resources in the community that you may not be aware of, and sort of hook you up with other dancers that could be beneficial to you, and conferences, workshops, lots of homework.
And does all mentoring happen in a formal relationship?
Not necessarily. I think often you end up sort of developing a formal relationship when you ask about becoming a mentee formally, but mentors can also be just anyone that you look up to and seek advice from. So it could also be, like, say, just another dancer in the community who you really admire, who's been dancing, you know, forever, and you just love them and admire them, and they might do sort of like informal mentoring on maybe a private lesson from time to time, feedback on your dancing or something like that. So it could also be sort of a less formal situation as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had somebody like that when I was a baby performer. So I wasn't a beginner, but I wasn't quite on the pro threshold yet. And she was a very experienced dancer in the area, but wasn't teaching regularly. And we discovered that we were both from Buffalo originally. And, you know, a couple times we would just like go out to lunch and she would take me to the music shop and help pick music I should be listening to and make all kinds of suggestions about how to get myself ready, you know, for those, you know, open mic night student level performances in a more traditional context. And it was a really wonderful thing. And, you know, we never had any kind of formal thing or ongoing process, but, you know, every time we hung out, I learned something really important from her. So I really valued that a lot.
That sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So, you know, when it comes to mentoring relationships, you know, what's in it for the mentor? And if you're the mentee, how can you make sure that you're doing a good job in that role?
I think there's so much in it for the mentor. I think it's really incredibly validating to see your students grow and to succeed, and to have people to sort of carry on your legacy and to know that you're contributing to positive growth in the community. I think it's just really wonderful to see that people find themselves through dance, and we see this, you know, anyone who teaches can see this in their beginner students when they master a new move. It's just the most beautiful thing to see them sort of celebrate their successes, and so I think it's just so wonderful to see people grow and to see what they can make of themselves as dancers. And to see them then maybe eventually go on to inspire others and pass that along to the next generation of dancers. And so I'm seeing this in all new ways now that I'm mentoring some of my students, and it's just like, it makes you so proud.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
To be a good mentee, I think you have to be really dedicated and committed and willing to work really hard. Because while it is a very fun job, it's a job that requires a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Do we still have you?
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. You know, I was thinking a little bit about what you were saying about, you know, what's in it for the mentor. And, you know, in addition to the pride, I think that, you know, for me, when I've been in this role, there are, you know, two things that really jump out, you know, and one is that I've been very, very lucky to have the mentors that I did. You know, my primary teacher was a wonderful mentor. I had that other dancer who took me under her wing, you know, occasionally, but was still really helpful. And then I also had another mentor who stepped in when mine retired, who's been, you know, kind of my, like, stepmom in the dance world. And so for me, I feel like, I feel really lucky to be able to provide that for somebody else. Like, you know, like let's pass it on. Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is that, you know, in some ways, I think one of the great things about being a mentor is that you get to make sure that your dance values make it on into the next generation.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, they say that like the urge to have kids is about, you know, passing on your genes at a primal level, not necessarily in a life satisfaction sense. You know, it's about like passing your genes on, right? And I kind of feel like that's the same thing, right? Like, let's make sure that these things that I think are important make it on. And, you know, a lot of the people that I'm mentoring, their style doesn't look anything like mine. You know, some of them weren't my students originally, or, you know, they've decided they want other things. And this was true for my own teacher too. A lot of her students ended up in very different genres. But I think that in all of us and all of them, you can see, you know, the things, the underlying things that are really critical. And, you know, it just makes me so happy that they're still there.
Absolutely. I love seeing the older styles sort of continue on. Like, my mentor was dancing for 40 years. And so things that we did in class were, like, we always played Zills and we danced to 9/8 and we had veil wraps, and it was very like, it was the old school traditional like vintage Oriental style. And now I love just having students who are excited about playing Zills. They're excited about keeping Zill playing alive, and I think that's so wonderful. And about, they get really excited about traditional music, and that's something that I really love, just hearing music made with instruments and not synthesized. And so it is really wonderful to see values passed on, and yeah.
Excellent. All right, so, you know, let's talk a little about some of like the content of mentoring. So, you know, if somebody wants to become a professional performer or teacher, what are some of the steps along that road that they need to take?
Oh, there are so many steps. For becoming a performer, the place to start out is, of course, dancing at student shows, doing group pieces, and then eventually doing solos at student shows if your instructor is able to provide those, or if you can get a spot at an open mic night, something like Open Zills at the Athenian Corner, or at whatever your, that's relevant to Boston area, but at whatever your local venue is where it's open to student and beginning level dancers, and to start out there with performing. And then I think there's so much that goes into being a professional performer. You need to be able to be comfortable writing choreography and improvising to a variety of music. You need to be very comfortable with the structure of Middle Eastern music, rhythms, maqams, famous classical songs and composers. Being really clear on the differences between styles so that you're able to adapt your dancing for different audiences, especially if you want to eventually do gigs at private parties. I've danced for audiences that were Persian and Turkish and Arabic, and at a variety of events, birthdays and weddings and ladies' nights. And for each of these things, you have to be able to adapt your music choices and the structure of your set, and so there's a lot of background knowledge that goes into understanding how to be able to do that effectively. Also just watching as many performances as you possibly can, both live and on YouTube, and studying how other dancers interact with the audience and use stage space and do floor patterns and all sorts of different things. And then, of course, to be comfortable playing Zills and dancing with whatever props sort of speak to you and to your style. If you have a mentor that is someone who does private party gigs, one thing that's good to do is see if you can go along with them as an assistant to sort of help with costume changes and watch to see how they do their shows. So I have some students who do this for me now, and it's also really beneficial for the dancer doing the gig, because you have someone to keep you company on the ride and to help if anything goes wrong with your music, to help you put on your costume, and also it's a learning opportunity for them. So it's helpful to everyone. And also learning to make set lists for different styles and for shows of different lengths, adapting your dance for different venues, building a costume wardrobe that's versatile and professional and well-made and well-fitting, and then learning about the business end of things, how to set rates that are appropriate for your region, how to communicate with clients, making contracts for your performances, collecting deposits, how to protect yourself. There's so much that goes into being a professional performer. And and then for teaching, taking as many classes, workshops, and private lessons as you can. Well, that goes for performing as well. That goes for everyone. Study as much as you possibly can all the time. And then when you take classes from a variety of different people, be it in workshops or regular weekly classes, you can see how people teach and how people structure their classes and break down movements and see what's effective and what resonates with you. And then I think trying to develop your own lesson plans, even if it's just for fun, writing some lesson plans both for like one individual specific class night or for a series of classes, thinking about how you would teach and what sort of content you'd want to include. If your mentor is open to it, you can also see about leading the warm-up or a cool-down for her classes. I've had students do this for me when I've been injured and had to sit on the side of the room. I'll have one of them lead the warm-up and lead the whole class if I'm injured, or just if they want to gain experience. And eventually, you could even try subbing for their classes when they're away. Other things that go along with teaching professionally would be learning about liability insurance and marketing, and thinking about how you would teach for students of different levels and for different audiences, and considering how you would handle the trickier things, like if you had a disruptive student during class, how you would handle that. And I think it's good to also think about why you, like your motivations for teaching and everything that you have to offer to the community. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
You know,
for quite a while there.
Absolutely, and you know, all of those things are really important. And you know, I think that especially when it comes to business and professionalism, that's where I think the real desperate need for mentors is, because an awful lot of the other stuff we can get in class, you know, if you have a really good teacher with a good class, you know, you can get a lot of that other stuff. But, you know, there's just such a big difference between I'm going to dance in as many shows as I want because I enjoy doing it, and I'm putting myself out there as a professional. I need to represent the dance well, you know, it's especially because, you know, when it goes from being something where you're doing it socially versus in a professional role, you know, there's so many more things to think about. And sometimes, you know, you need to have a really tough skin going in. And I think that's one of the places where a mentor can really help you make that adjustment.
Yeah. There's a lot of, behind the scenes work that needs to go into business skills and ethics in professional dance.
I think in a lot of cases, even just having the professional mindset is a big shift, right? The like, I'm here to dance and have fun and like do some stuff with my friends, and I'm going to try and represent the dance as well as I can, versus, you know, I'm here to get the best show and to make sure this restaurant is getting, you know, their money's worth. It's just a totally different situation. And by the way, I don't mean to, you know, put down anybody who's doing this on a hobby basis. I think some of the best dancers out there aren't trying to do this in a professional category. There are tons of really experienced and lovely dancers. So, you know, it's just a difference in what your goals are and what your intentions are. All right. So, you know, what, in addition to all the stuff that you mentioned, you know, are there any particular skills or topics that you see a need for mentoring in?
I think
we covered a lot,
like,
already.
What did you say?
We covered a lot already, but if there's anything in particular that you want to call out.
I think for performing, working on things like stage presence and adapting your shows for your audience and your venue, and then developing compositions and forming routine formats, interacting with live bands is very important. And for teaching, handling lesson plans, talking about finding studio space and communicating with studios versus opening your own studio, communicating with students. There's so much.
And, you know, teachers out there, you know, who really want to be good mentors to their students, you know, how can they build that skill set and learn to be better mentors?
I think being open to being adaptive. Everyone learns differently, and so we have to be able to adapt to what's working for the students that we're mentoring. And, yeah, you see, you just have to be able to adapt and find out what works. Also, being as organized as you can, and being flexible and patient, and having good communication skills.
And, you know, for teachers, you know, if they have a student that they're interested in mentoring, you know, is that something that they could approach them on rather than vice versa?
Yes, I think so. I've actually done this. I had a student who danced for many years before she came to my classes, and then was in my classes for about 4 years. And I went up to her and I was like, you might want to consider teaching at some point. I think you'd be really great at it. Yeah, I think it is good. I've also that there are students who sometimes you see someone who just like is such an amazing performer, and maybe they hadn't really thought about the fact that maybe they could become a professional dancer or work in the restaurant circuit, and mentioning that to them, like, hey, if you're ever interested in pursuing something like this, let's talk about the steps you could take to do that. So I think you could definitely approach students that you see having that potential.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that occurred to me is, you know, a little bit earlier you mentioned how you're doing some meetups with some of your students. You know, are there ways that teachers can, you know, do some more formalized mentoring activities with their students separate from, you know, those kind of one-on-one, let's talk once in a while relationships? You know, are there ways to incorporate more mentoring in classes or in other events?
Yeah, I think so. One thing I've tried is at the beginning of the year, having a group of students meet up and then have them each make lists of what they studied and learned in the past year, and what they feel that they already are very good at, and then what they feel like they want to work on, and some action steps for the upcoming year that could help them achieve those goals. So I think also like basically giving written exercises that could help people think about a self-assessment and goal setting. I think that's very important. And yeah, written exercises.
When it came to teaching, my primary teacher and mentor, she had a master's degree in education. She's actually been on the show before, Amira Jamal. And one thing that was super valuable in her class is that occasionally she would run an actual teacher training program. So we had, you know, a 3-month ongoing weekly class where we would learn lesson planning and pedagogy, and we had to run sample classes with the other students. And that was really helpful. And then she would also have, you know, a student teacher who would come every single week to one of her beginner classes and, you know, get some kind of one-on-one apprenticeship. And I went through that and it was super valuable.
Oh, I
Even
like
looking
that.
back, though, I'm kind of amazed at how much of her time I took up. But it was so valuable.
That sounds amazing. I just finished something similar like that, but for performing, where we had a dance composition class, where people developed, each student developed their own, either solo or duet composition, and they went through the steps of like analyzing music, how to pick and choose your music, how to match your dancing to that specific style. And then we went through cycles of presenting what you had so far, getting constructive criticism from the rest of the class, representing it in another 2 weeks. Yeah, I think things like that, where the students are helping each other learn in both teaching and performing, is also really very nice.
So, you know, a slightly less comfortable question is, you know, is your mentor always right? And, you know, what if your mentor gives you some advice that you disagree with?
I think that's a great time to have like some really open and honest dialogue, and to just sort of talk, because it's totally possible that there could be something that you disagree on, or and I think one way that this could come up is in like a generational gap where maybe a certain thing was taught a certain way, maybe in the past, and then future dance research into that topic has said, well, maybe that wasn't the case. And so everything's always evolving, and historical research is always building on itself. And so there definitely could be times where something was incorrect or if you disagreed on professional advice, I think it's a good time to talk about that, because it's a growing and learning experience for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
so you're becoming a, what's the word, a colleague during a mentoring relationship. You're on your way to becoming a professional dancer who will be a colleague of the person that is your mentor. So it's good to have these sort of discussions.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one of the reasons I was so excited to have you talk about this is that, you know, you did have that really unique experience of taking up your teacher's mantle when she retired. So can you tell a little bit more about how that worked?
Yeah, so I was in her classes for several years, and I had been taking classes and workshops and private lessons with her and also with several other teachers as well. And she wanted to sort of semi-retire. Luckily, even still to this day, she's not fully retired, and I hope she doesn't retire because she's still just an amazing performer. But she lives part-time in Florida, and she wasn't able to continue teaching weekly classes anymore, and she really wanted to cut down. And so she wanted to give her students a more consistent class schedule during the parts of the year she was away and to decrease her own workload. So she had asked if I would be willing to take over for her. And so I really buckled down, and I started working on developing lesson plans and developing a level system for the classes that I was envisioning. And I started learning about basic marketing, and I made a website. And also on the other side, on the performance side, I was in her student troupe, and she had been coaching me on dancing as a soloist and refining my technique and getting better at stage presence. And she also helped me with finding gigs. She had danced a lot for the local Turkish community, and so she passed on her old client list to me, and they're still to this day my absolute favorite people in the world to dance for. So yeah, she ended up passing on both her classes and her performance.
Mm-hmm. And were there any particular things that she did to prepare you? Was there any formal process or just ongoing suggestions?
Yeah, it wasn't as formal. It was sort of like she wasn't performing much anymore. So I wasn't able to sort of go along on gigs or anything like that, but I was able to sort of test out teaching a little bit in class. And we talked about the lesson plans I was developing and went over that. And she also helped me co-host workshops with her. And so that was a really interesting experience. So she helped me sort of just go over all of the individual aspects over several years of performing and teaching and event hosting. And, yeah, really great.
And in hindsight, you know, is there anything that you think would have made that easier? You know, anything that if you had been in her place, knowing what you know now, that you would do?
I think the one thing that I wish I could have done is go along on gigs with her. Since she wasn't performing much anymore, I didn't get to see that part of the process firsthand. So when I had my first gig, while we had discussed it a lot, it was a very new experience for me.
Excellent. And was there anything that she did, you know, in her business or her dance schools and curriculum to prepare that to be passed on to you?
She actually gave me her incredible collection of all sorts of things that she had collected throughout her career, research she had done, all of her old books and magazines, because, of course, when she started dancing, there wasn't the internet and global communication like we have now, and a lot of her early learning was from books that were put out by Serena Wilson and Jamila Salimpour, and so she had learned from like reading and looking at these photographs in dance instructional books. So I inherited all of her old books and magazines and articles that she had collected, and all of her old record collection and cassette collections. So she set me up with some amazing resources and really beautiful music.
Mm-hmm. My teacher, who kind of gradually retired, there was never an official cutoff point, has recently started giving me some of her old things, like her books and her collection of teaching canes, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember holding some of these things when I was a newer dancer, and you know, just like the lineage piece of it is just so lovely. So, you know, separate from the fact they're all useful,
yeah.
It just feels so lovely to, you know, receive those things.
Oh, it's amazing! Mm-hmm. I really treasure them.
All right, and so in that area, you know, kind of this, you know, like information or item sense. Is there anything else that would have made that easier for you to get started? Or anything that you would have done differently if you find yourself in the same position later?
I think the best thing for curriculum, passing on curriculums, is just talking through your lesson plans, maybe trying a sample of like teaching to your teacher. And we did some of those things, and I think that was really valuable. I can't think of anything else I would have wanted her to do. Specifically.
Excellent. Now, I don't know if you know this or if you're comfortable sharing it, but I'd love to hear if you do know why your teacher chose you to take that on. Go ahead.
So actually, there were two candidates for taking on teaching for her, me and this other really lovely woman who was one of her longtime students, and so the two of us were in classes together. And when she asked me if I was interested, my initial response was, "Oh no! That she should do it." This other dancer, Shifa said, "Well, I did approach her as well, but she isn't interested, and she actually nominated you." And I was like, "Oh!" And so it turned out that each of us that she was considering had nominated each other, but that the other woman was not interested. So I said, "I would be interested in that," and so that's sort of how it began.
Excellent. And you know, in a more general sense, what do you think the teacher should look for when she's trying to choose a successor?
I think you want someone who will work really hard and be committed, and who has sort of like those same ideals that you do, like you were mentioning earlier. Someone who sort of, just has the same value system, and someone who, you know, in watching them, you know that they're committed. They're committed to continuing their education throughout their entire career, and someone who's going to be a really good ambassador for the dance.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, you know, we're not talking about, you know, who a teacher should encourage to teach, because just because somebody has different dance values from you doesn't mean that they shouldn't be out there teaching.
Oh, right.
But you're talking about passing on, you know, your school or your students are looking for somebody to take that up for you. That's absolutely what I would say too. All right. You know, so when you stepped into that role, what were some of the challenges that you faced?
One challenge initially was that because she was very old school and had started a really long time ago, she wasn't exactly current with modern marketing techniques. And so I ended up solving that problem by getting a business coach, same business coach as you, actually. And
we're talking about Julie Eason, the Belly Dance
Julie
Business
Eason.
Academy, by the way. Yeah, she's been a Clubhouse guest, and she's actually the one who wrote the book that is sponsoring this episode. So
yes,
we all encourage you to check her out.
Yes, and I am one of those contributors to that book as well, and it's an excellent, excellent little book, and Julie is a wonderful, wonderful person. And so, yeah, that was one of my biggest challenges initially, was learning about social media marketing and SEO and all sorts of modern marketing techniques.
And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, some of the people who are in these classes, were taking classes with you. Was it hard to step into the teacher role with some of your fellow students?
I think it was much stranger for me than it was for them. When Shifa announced that I was going to be taking over her classes, everyone was absolutely thrilled. And actually, the most adorable and wonderful thing is that there were maybe six of them who started out, and one of them was the other woman who was considering becoming the person who took over for Shifa. And all half dozen or so of them are still my students to this very day. So I think it's like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And, for people who are in that role, I think one thing that would be really interesting to hear is, what kind of relationship you have with them. Because I know especially, for people who begin in your classes rather than who come to you from other teachers, in a lot of ways they really look up to you. And it's, there's a different relationship when it's somebody who's more of a peer who's coming to you for help. So, what's that relationship like for you?
I found it very comfortable because they were all people that I'd known for a really long time, and we all really respected each other. And I think it felt very comfortable because they were all very encouraging of me in starting this process. And it wasn't as awkward as I would have thought that it could have been. It was very nice.
Excellent. And when you step into a role like that, when you're really taking up your teacher's mantle or taking on the torch, what are some of the responsibilities that you take on in that role?
I think there's several. For teaching, just providing quality, knowledgeable, consistent instruction. I think another thing that's really important is community building. Shifa was amazing at this. She hosted the local student shows, or co-hosted the local student shows, and also co-hosted our one and only monthly venue that our community had at that time. And so taking on that role or that responsibility of working on community building and development was really important.
All right. Well, open this up for questions and answers in just a second. But before we do, if people take one thing away from this call, what would you want that to be?
I think that mentoring relationships are really beautiful things. They allow you to share and grow with someone else. And I think it's a really wonderful process for both parties. And it's just very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to learn more from you, how can they do that?
You connect with me online, on social media, on Facebook, or on my website or mailing list. I also host workshops and teach workshops around at various places. And I'm working on building a really helpful blog. I want to be a good resource for people, so I'm working on blog series on photo shoots and on creating a costume collection and on posts about finding level appropriate venues for aspiring dancers and about ethics in the dance community. So connecting with me on my blog or my mailing list or social media would be great. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. And where can people find those?
Yeah, that's a good question. On my website, www.sahinabellydance.com, and there's links. My blog is hosted on my website, and there's a link to join the mailing list on the bottom of every page. And I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/sahinabellydance, and I am not good at keeping my Twitter updated, so not your best bet, but I'm on there.
All right. All right, so we're going to open it up for questions and answers. So if you have a question that you'd like to ask Sahina, or a problem that you'd like to bring up, we would love to hear from you. So to unmute yourself, you can press **. You can do that on your phone or on the Skype keypad. Or if you're listening to us here on the webcast, there's a little question, like speech bubble button on the right-hand side. You can type that in on the right. So we would love to hear from you. So go ahead and press star star. If you don't have a question, we would love to hear your favorite mentor story, whether that's something important that you learned from a mentor or how you met them or any of those stories. That would be great to hear as well.
Hi, this is Chava.
Hi, Chava. How are you?
Great. Hi. I was wondering, is mentoring sometimes done for a fee and sometimes not for a fee? And I have a second question. You mentioned stage face. Does that just refer to facial expression?
It can be. There are formal programs, like teaching certifications or not even certifications, but like guided teacher trainings and guided dance trainings. For professional performers that are done for a fee, the sort of less structured forms of mentoring are sometimes not done for a fee, like the less formal sort of meetups for coffee and things like that. And then your second question was on stage space, I believe. Stage space, so like using all areas of your stage and sort of adapting for different venues. I dance in one venue that has a very, very teeny tiny stage, and then sometimes you're on a big, huge auditorium stage, so being able to adapt for the space that you're in.
Okay, thanks.
If I can add my own 2 cents, what Zahina was talking about with the paid versus non-paid, having been a mentor and a mentee, I have paid to be part of the programs that Zahina described. And then I also have mostly given and received really like light, not light, but, you know, short questions over email, you know, things that I can answer in like 10 or 15 minutes, not things that take an hour to do. But if it's anything where I need specific feedback on my dancing that can't be answered just from what we've done in class, I usually expect to pay for a private lesson. I mean, I'm sure everybody has a different sense of what the threshold is there, but you know, they're definitely, you know, kind of regimented paid programs and also occasionally paid ones as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks to you both.
My pleasure. Those were good questions. All right. Anybody else who'd like to ask a question or share their favorite mentoring story? We would love to hear from you, if so. They like to share something that they wish they had had a mentor and wouldn't have messed up if they had.
This is Laura. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, friends. My question is, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, connecting with folks and now with the wide world of web and whatnot, how we can reach folks that aren't necessarily in our area. If we're looking for mentorship, maybe in different styles or from different people that we've either seen dance or idolize or all that good stuff. So my question is about, you know, building that relationship in terms of, like, time length. Like, you know, I tend to be an overly friendly person. So, like, what's the appropriate time to wait before you start telling someone how much you love them and want them to tell you all the secrets of life?
I think you can approach someone as soon as you know that you want to work with them. So if you've seen someone who's really inspired you on YouTube and you go track down their website and you want to find out more information about how you can learn from them from a distance, even if they're not in your area, I think going ahead and just contacting them and right away when you know that you're sure that you want to study from them. And then if there's someone long distance who happens to be coming to your area for a workshop, I think that's a great time to sort of build those connections. You could, you know, sign up for the workshop and then tell them, see if you can find some time to speak with them after the class is over and say you've admired their work online and you really enjoyed the workshop and how can you continue learning from them if they're not in your area. So, yeah, I don't think I think you should wait until you're sure, but you might be sure right away. So,
thank you.
If I can piggyback on that, a lot of the time when somebody is doing workshops, there may also be a couple of private lesson spots available to sign up for. A lot depends on the scheduling.
Yeah.
But if it's one of those things where, you know, you're taking a workshop from them, you might want to schedule a private lesson and say, hey, I really enjoyed this. You know, I'd like to get your opinion on where I should be going. Can we, you know, do some assessment in this private lesson? That might be a good way to start that relationship too.
That's great.
Excellent. Well, that was a good question. Do you have any more?
No, but I don't know how to remute myself. So
okay,
that.
Well, I can do that from my dashboard. All right. So more questions, more stories.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. Hi, Sahina. I think I don't really have so much a question, but more of a observation from my aspect, my perspective, that, or maybe it is kind of a question, I don't know, see where this goes, that if you see someone that's like, that you want to mentor, I feel like that's something that you should, for people who are thinking about mentoring, to like, go out and talk to that one person and try to push them. Sahina has been that person for me. She's pushed me. she's the one who pushed me to teach. And I'm getting all teary-eyed, but...
Don't get me started.
It's been a wonderful thing to have someone say, hey, you're good at this. You should try this new thing. And to, it's nice to feel, you know, like recognized and then develop like another level of your relationship where you can like still find a way to challenge them and push them even further. If all that made sense between me getting all teary-eyed.
Yes, Melissa, you definitely, you showed that spark and I knew you'd make an excellent teacher. And others in the community also recognized it as well because our local professional troop asked me if I thought that you would be a suitable candidate for joining their professional troop, and you are now a member for several years now. So
yeah. And the situation is she's fine. Well.
Yes, we have this adorable full circle relationship that has happened where Shifa is still occasionally teaching a few classes here or there, and Melissa moved near where she's teaching now and was able to take some classes with her, and now that Shifa, well, you can tell the rest of it.
So Shifa is like a bird. She's very migratory.
Yeah.
She comes to the south during the wintertime because it's cold up here in New England. Mm-hmm. So now I am actually I took over Shifa's classes for the wintertime, and I'll give them back to her when she gets back up here in April or May, whenever she manages to get back up.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And,
you know, that's right, go ahead.
Oh, Shifa had also pushed me to do my first private gig. She actually gave me one of her customers that she had. They wanted a dancer, and she was like, I'm not doing that anymore. Take her. And
that's how she started with me, too.
Yeah. And this was something I didn't think that I could do because I'm a plus-size woman. And I feel like it's hard to be in, you know, a belly dance costume in front of general public versus being in front of, you know, fellow dancers, because there's a different level of expectation. There's like a different concept of what we find beautiful versus, you know, just regular Joe Schmo on the road. So it was like, you know, I was like, really? Are you sure? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, in this costume I described, and she was like, yeah, just do it. And I was really nervous. I, you know, gave a full description of what I looked like, and I told her where my website was, the customer. And then when I got there and the customer looked at me, she was like, oh, you're beautiful. I'm like, oh, okay. And then that sort of got me to relax. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's being on the receiving end of Sahina and of Sahina's mentor. An amazing feeling. And so it's, even if like when you see that spark in someone, like, please go push them, because they may not be able to say themselves that they want to be mentored. You know, they may need to have that little push to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, they may not know they have it in them, but yeah. You might know.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes me think of another thing that's been very valuable from my mentor, is that, you know, I think that this is especially something that happens with very capable women, is that we underestimate our abilities in a lot of ways. You know, they've got the phrase imposter syndrome, which is the people who are the most capable think they're the least capable. And I think this is especially true in the belly dance world, where, you know, a lot of us who are really conscientious about being the best dancers we can be and representing the dance well, think that if everything isn't perfect, we have nothing to offer. And, you know, my mentor has been really helpful in saying, look, you need to stop stressing out about this. You can keep practicing it, but you need to stop stressing out about it. Just go do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to work on this. You know, your energy we better spend over there. Stop worrying about this. Spend your time on something else. And, you know, getting that from somebody, you know, whose opinion I value, right? You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Somebody that I know would tell me the truth if it did need work. And somebody who I agree with. If she says this doesn't, you know, need work, I believe her. You know, has been really, really valuable. So, you know, even after you've gotten that first kick in the pants, sometimes we need to keep hearing it.
Yes.
So I'm so glad you brought that up, Melissa.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Melissa.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions they'd like to ask or more comments they'd like to make? Some great mentoring that you received, your best advice from your mentor, the mistake that you wouldn't have made if your mentor had known you were going to do it. Okay, well, it looks like that might be the end of our questions and answers then. Well, thank you so much, Sahina.
Oh, thank you so much, Nadira, for hosting this and hosting the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse all the time, and for having me on to talk about a subject that I really love.
My pleasure. This is really close to my heart, too, and I'm so glad you could do it. All right. And I'd like to give another thanks to our sponsor. Once again, that's the new book, Belly Dance Practice Prompts, Inspiration for Tribal Cabaret and Fusion Dancers, and that features both some ideas from me and from Sahina, as well as several other wonderful dancers. So you'll find 120 inspiring ways to jazz up your practice, and it also includes $50 of free belly dance goodies from me, Sahina, and some of the other submitters. So if you do want to check that out, you can find it at bellydancepracticeprompts.com/Amazon. And I'd just like to let you know what else is going on in the belly dance geek world. We are having a sale. A reverse sale. Usually we'll like offer some bonuses, but this time we're actually doing money off. So if you use code 15 for 15, which is the number 15, 15, and then the word for, for 15, so that's 15, 15, you can get 15% off all of my products, including my improvisation toolkit DVD line, which is good through December 25th. So if you'd like to do that, you can check out anything at bellydancegeek.com/store and just enter that coupon code 15 for 15 when you get to the checkout. Well, thank you everybody for coming. This is the end of the call, but that doesn't mean that the conversation has to end. We've got a private Facebook group just for the Clubhouse members. So if you have some extra questions that you've thought of that you'd like to talk about, you can head on over there. I'll be sending out an email shortly, which will include an invitation to that group. It is a private group, just to make sure that it's a safe place for everybody to talk. So there may be a delay of a day or two before I approve you. So don't worry if you can't post right away. And I'll also include a link to the call recording so you can listen to this again, a link to the Belly Dance Practice Prompts book so you can check that out, as well as to our survey. So I run the Clubhouse, but it's really for everybody. So if you have topics you'd like to cover or speakers you'd like to hear from or any suggestions for how I can improve the Clubhouse, I would love to hear it. Our next call has not been scheduled yet, so keep an eye on your inbox for our January details. And the last thing I'd like to say is that this is the come on in kind of Clubhouse, not the no boys allowed kind. So if you know somebody who would benefit from these calls, you can invite them to join us at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until next time, happy dancing. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. For more geektacular resources, check out bellydancegeek.com.